I'm supposed to be crying at the end, not at the beginning. Oh my God. Okay, everybody set their watch. I'm Tina, I'm an addict.
Hi, Tina.
Before I start, I dread doing this because I've always thought that I don't have a story to tell because I didn't think my story was like everybody else's, and I didn't really lose anything when I used, but I didn't realize till I got here that it wasn't what I lost on the outside, it's what I lost on the inside. And so that's why I'm able to sit here, because I was dead inside. So I'll talk about, in a general way, what it was like, what happened, and how it is now. I'm an only child, raised by a single mother. My mom lived in Kentucky, and when she got pregnant with me at the age of 19, she ran away and ran up to Milwaukee because I had an aunt up here. And I didn't know until like years later that even when I was a baby in the crib that the physical abuse started from my mom. But as the years went by, it was just a struggle. I remember at age 10 or 12 just wanting to die or wanting somebody to take me away and just having no... no one to help me. And so then that started the mind of putting myself somewhere else, make believing I'm somebody else, just not to deal with my life. When I was young, from the time I was born, and I guess to maybe 10, my mom became a Jehovah's Witness, so I was raised in that religion. My aunt was a Jehovah's Witness, and so my mom became one too. And that was all I knew. So all the people I knew. I wasn't really around kids, I was mostly around adults. And so I'm sure that had something to do with how I was. Around 12, my mom kind of stopped going, but I continued to go, and so that became my life. I was really immersed in it and figured that would be my life until about 19 or 20. And I kind of rebelled. My mom kept me really sheltered, so once I got of age, it was like I could break those bonds and I could be just free. And I took that to the extreme. I first used cocaine at the age of 21. It was something new. I had never used drugs before, and the guy I was with, he was selling it. And so it's like, okay, let me experiment. And so that started me. And I used until I became pregnant with my son when I was 24. Before I had my son, I was pregnant, but I lost it due to using. I stopped using cocaine, but I continued to drink and smoke weed. After I had my son, the weed and the alcohol continued. And then maybe when he was about one or two, I started back using cocaine, and it became a way of escaping. I had never dealt with the pain of my mom, and so that just kind of transferred into my life. And all that hurt and the pain, and I used that to suppress those feelings. Because I was angry. And I wanted to fight anybody and anything, and it was just to keep me calm and trying to keep me, I used. Then I got into a situation where I didn't really want to be in a situation, but from being out there, this is what I had learned. So I met this older guy, and I started a relationship with him. He was 28 years older, so I met him when I was 26, and he was 55. And he was married on top of that. But at that point, I was used to getting what I want with my body. I mean, that's what I did. And so I didn't want to be in that situation, but I was so naive as to taking care of myself or my child. I mean, the last time I tried to do that, I ended up in an apartment full of gas trying to commit suicide. And so I've always needed somebody else to help take care of me. I've never done that on my own. Because I went from my mom to a guy to another guy, and it just, or a roommate, and it just kind of, that was my life. So we got together, and that just kind of really ruined me because I didn't have to do anything. But I wasn't happy. But my thinking was, this will give my son a stable environment. We won't be moving. He'll be taken care of. And he was, for the most part. But during that whole time, I'm using. And it's making life hell, not just for me, but for my boyfriend and for my son. And there were times, and it sounds so crazy now, that, you know, I wanted to commit suicide, and my thought was, I don't really trust anybody to take care of my son, because my mom abused me and she had abused my son. So it was like, if I go, he'll go with me. And I kind of voiced that a couple of times. And my boyfriend at the time really kind of took it seriously. And he was extra watchful. But that's just how my thinking was. It was just how my thinking was. So we were together for like 13, 14 years. The last couple of years, I actually moved out. I don't know what happened. Well, I do know what happened. I started to go to school, and it kind of opened up my eyes to this whole nother world. And that I could actually do things, because I had been taught from my mother that I wasn't anything, and I didn't have to think, just do. And from this relationship that I was in, he had no confidence in me at all, but to just be a crackhead, and that's it. So when I finally started going to school and I realized I could do things, it was like, okay, it's now or never. I'm getting old. It's now or never for me to get up and actually do something and step up and be a woman. And so I took that chance. And I moved out. It wasn't easy, and I still relied on him to take care of us, just because I wasn't used to it. And I was so spoiled, and I thought the world owed me, and I really thought he owed me. And so that's what I did. I used him. And when I moved, I had more freedom to use. And it just really just kind of went downhill after that, because it was every day, no matter what I had to do, I was using. So I couldn't keep a job. I could barely pay my bills. And so one day, I'm sitting in my living room on the couch, and I had just used, and I'm thinking of a way to get some more, and it was like nothing I could do. And I was just really tired. I was really tired. So I picked up the phone and I called 911, and I told them that, you know, I was contemplating suicide. So they told me to come in, and I called my boyfriend to come pick me up and take me. I didn't tell him what was going on, but I was just a mess. I was crying, and I was afraid of what he would say because he had found out years before that I used, and I promised that I wouldn't, but I never stopped. Until he took me. And I'm sitting there in a room with him and a doctor and some nurses, and they're asking me what's going on, and I'm just flat out, I'm an addict and I need help. And it was like, oh my God, finally. I finally said it. Whatever happens now happens. My thinking was I would go to treatment, stay about 30 days to get myself cleaned up, because in all the time that I used, I never had any clean time. I didn't think I needed clean time. I didn't consider myself like the other addicts. So that was my thinking. So they told me to go home, pack a bag. They had a place for me to go. I'm still with my boyfriend. We go pick up my son. I don't really know what to say to him after lying to him all this time. And surprisingly, he was really nice. I'm sure he was hurt, but he kept that to himself. So I went to Rogers. This is my first time going to rehab ever in my life. This was actually my first time ever admitting that I was an addict. So I went there and I stayed about a week. And it was, I've never been in that situation. I've never been somewhere where you can't go out, you gotta give up all your stuff. And it was an experience, it really was. And then on top of that, I had some crazy woman that was like wearing my clothes and putting on my contacts. And it was like, oh my God, I'm ready to go. I'm not like these other people. It's like, oh my God. And you know, and I'm in here and I'm not using. And it's like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. I do remember I spent Mother's Day in there, and that just really killed me that my son had to come see me in there. And you guys know me. Him and I are really, really close. It's so different than the relationship that I had with my mom. Being an only child and him being an only child, he basically took care of me. And it made it okay to be there because he told me that he would rather I be there than sitting at home doing what I do every night. And so it was like, okay, it's time for me to get myself together. So I get out. Honestly, you know, when I went there, I just needed to clear my mind. That's it. I just needed to clear my mind because it had never been clear, and I figured if I do start back, I'll be able to control it. I won't go so far. I got out. I had money. And that was just, you know, when I had money, I was already in my mind calculating what I was going to do and this and that. Turned on my phone and all my dealers were calling me like, where, you know, and it's like, okay. I remember walking out that first time. And it was like, the sky was blue, the grass was green, it was flower, and I'm thinking, well, where have I been all this time? I know this is how it's been, but it's like, I didn't appreciate it until I actually came out. And it's like, oh my God, it's summertime, and I'm thinking, okay, I'll go home and, you know, I'll spend some time with my son, and that wasn't the case. The first day I got out, I had to go up to the school, because my mom had been up there and she was hitting on my son just because she didn't know where we were and I didn't want to tell her. My relationship with my mom, hot and cold. Hot, where I have to get a restraining order against her. Cold, where I back away from her. You know, I can't deal with it. So it was like, oh my God, I can't get a break. And so I dealt with that. You know, I'm an emotional wreck. She's stalking me. She's coming to the house. And I'm just lost because I have nowhere to go. people that I'm used to hanging with, they use, and my family, they use. So it's like, well, what do I do? And so I just kind of stuck with myself. You know, me and him did a lot together. Thankfully, I was in outpatient, so I had something to do all day long. And being in there, you know, I had to do certain things, and going to meetings and getting a newcomer chip was one of them. So that's what I did. My days were scheduled from 9 to 2, go home, cook him dinner, go to a meeting, come home, go to sleep, get up and do the same thing all over again. I needed that because any free time, my head's going and I'm used to being alone, and I used alone. So, you know, my trigger was sitting in my bedroom on my bed with the door closed. So I had to get out of that, which it seems so trivial, but you don't think about all of that stuff until you're actually sitting down talking about it. So for me to actually get out and sit on the couch and watch TV, it was like foreign. And this is my house, and I'm used to living here, but it was just foreign. I didn't really know how long I was going to do this. Yeah, I went to a meeting just because that's what they said to do in treatment. So I did it. I went to the closest place, which was Dewey. I think my first meeting was NA. And it was like all these kids. And I'm thinking, oh my God, no, that's not going to work for me. But I did it. So I can go back and say I did it. I opened up a lot through outpatient. And it was also really weird for somebody to take an interest in me and tell me how much I'm worth. And my counselor told me, he said, you will make it if you realize and stop thinking about how your mother sees you or how your boyfriend sees you, and realize that you are a good person, you are a good daughter. And that was foreign to me. Nobody had ever said that to me. I didn't really do things that was good. I always did things that would benefit me. You know, another thing, I'm supposed to get a sponsor. That's what I was supposed to do. So I think I had went to another AA meeting. I had went to AA meeting. I just didn't. And I had got a calendar from Dewey. I don't know where, but every day they had a meeting or something. So I saw CA and I'm thinking, well, I'll go to that or whatever. And I don't know what planet I was living on, but I never saw so many cocaine addicts in one room. And it really got me. The first reading that I heard, who was a cocaine addict? Because I heard things in there that I was doing. And I'm thinking, oh my God, it's not just me. I didn't know I was not the only one that would be down on the floor looking and, you know, just obsessing and couldn't stop. And it's okay, well, maybe this is, you know, where I need to be at. And then, you know, they ask those that have a year more to stand up, and I'm looking at all these people and I'm sitting in the back because, you know, I don't want to be seen. So every meeting I'm sitting in the back, and it's like, if I don't like what they saying, I'm going to ease out so nobody sees me. And, you know, don't talk to me. Don't come up and ask me what my name is. And so I look over and I see this woman stand up, and I'm thinking, well, I guess I'll ask her. I don't see any other women standing up, I don't think. And I walked up to her and I'm like, oh, I hear you have like a year more clean. And she's like, no, I have 13. I'm like, oh, okay, that's even better, I guess. And she said just to call me. Some of you guys know I'm really bad at answering my phone or calling you. I don't know. It's something about that. But it became a thing, you know. We would be going about our day, and I'm so open with my son, I'm telling him everything. And sometimes he would be, well, did you call Diane? And sometimes I'd be like, oh my God, I forgot, I gotta call Diane. So it was a lot for me to do that. that kind of just opened up everything. I was going to places in Milwaukee I had never been to. I don't think I ever been on KK before. If I did, I didn't know it. So she's like, there's a Friday meeting you need to go to, and I'm gonna have somebody waiting for you. And I'm map questing, so I have no idea where I'm going. And I'm thinking, who is this person? How am I supposed to know this person? And it's like, don't worry about it, just go. I had to do something. You know, even though I used during the week, Friday came, it was really time to just let loose. So for me not to have anything to do, I had to replace that. And so that's what I did. And so I get there, top down, music loud, and I pull up and I see all these people outside. And I walk up again, you know, like, don't talk to me. Don't ask me who I am, and, you know. And I realize they hug, don't hug me. I don't know you people. And then this girl comes up to me and is like, hi, are you Tim? I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so bubbly. Who is this? Oh my gosh. But that started everything. I think the more I went to meetings, the more I realized that this would be part of my life. Because I couldn't go back to how I was. I knew enough that if I did go back, I would lose everything. I would lose my house and my cars and my son, and who knows what would happen. I always had this thought, I'm not as bad as I see those women that walk up and down the street. But I was basically doing the same thing, just in a different way. So that started me in recovery, what, 26 months ago? And even coming in recovery, I was naive. I'm thinking, okay, all these people are clean and sober. Some of them have been doing this for a long time. This should be just nice. I remember going to my first event. I think it was either a Halloween or the 70s or something. And it just awed me to see all these people in one big room and for them to be clean and sober, even though I left early, but you know. But it was like, okay, well, maybe you can have fun without using. Because my life, regardless of what I was doing, always had me using something. If it wasn't cocaine, it would be weed or it would be drinking. So I just never saw my life without anything. So I made recovery part of my life. I had to, because without that, I had no life. And I started working in steps. In the beginning, I really didn't think how these steps would work, but I guess it had been working for other people, so I guess maybe it'll work for me. And that's what I did. The fourth step was, well, the first step, I was fine with that. I was an addict, I understood that. The second step introduced me to a God of my understanding. Because that had always been ingrained in me, but I left that once I started doing things that I knew morally and my conscience knew were wrong. I left that. And so coming back to recovery opened up that path for me to get reacquainted with my God. And realize it's not gonna be up to me, it's gonna be up to Him to keep me clean and sober. And it was so easy to do that because I was already clean and I had never been clean at any time. So I'm thinking, okay, I've been clean for maybe a couple of months now. Yeah, it's not me. The third step, I think around that time, I had issues with drinking. Because I knew wholeheartedly I didn't want to use cocaine again. But drinking was starting to weigh on my mind. And most of you guys know I'm so just openly blatant. Sometimes it's just not good, but I was honest with my sponsor and I told her, I think I'm able to drink. And the sponsor that she is, she's like, okay, go ahead. Try that for about 30 days. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not what I expected to hear. I'm expecting her, to try to reason with me and this and that. And it's like, okay, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. Okay, I won't try that. I understand. The fourth step, I was gung-ho because I knew it would change me. And I was ready for that change. And being naive again, I started it. And it's like, not even halfway through, I just halted. Because I was looking at me and this woman that I had been, it was horrible. And I didn't know if I wanted to continue to see that. But as someone always tells me, I'm living in my step. So I was going through a whole lot around that time. And going through it clean and sober. And it was just like, oh my God, what is this? And I had so much pain. And I needed to let that go. So for about a month, I stopped. And things got, I know I'm not unique in this. Things have to really get bad with me. Before I do something, I have to be like really knocked down and just at the end of my rope to actually do something. And so that's what happened. And I got through it. And that was the first time ever that I had actually looked at all of my actions and how everything I did affected everybody around me. People that I didn't really know it affected. People that weren't in my life, on a daily basis. I affected that. And it was like, oh my God. The thing that helped me get through it, my sponsor was like, that's what you used to be like. And now that you see that, you can be somebody better. And so that right there started who I am now. I was telling somebody the other day, me using seems like somebody else or just another part of my life. It was something I did, I had to do it, but this is my life right now. This is me really living. So I didn't feel bad because everything I went through, I needed to go through. And I knew God was in there because I was still here. I'm still living. But it was amazing. I hate to be bored. So this was like something new. It was like a challenge. It was, something I had never experienced, and I was looking forward to it. I actually started to like me because I realized I wasn't any worse than anybody else. And what I did didn't make me a bad person. It was just what happened. And so, fast forwarding now, I was just thinking, I've been through a whole lot in these last 26 months. Oh my God. Especially clean and sober. I've never been around people who just wanted the best for me. Everybody always wanted something. And I was so needy for attention and for love and just for understanding, to actually get that, it scared me. And I'm so good at shutting down and isolating myself because I don't, I said I wasn't gonna say what I'm saying anyway. I have this rough exterior. You know, I think everybody sees me as wanting that attention, and really I don't, because I don't want you to see what's inside. I've been so hurt that, you know, I shut that down. I put up those walls, and I can't really do that in recovery. As much as I want to, I did in the beginning. Sometimes I still do it. But I realized being in recovery is not all about me. And to be of service to somebody else, I have to do what God wants me to do. And if that means I have to open up myself, then, you know, that's what I'll do. I remember the first time my sponsor was like, okay, I'm gonna need you to come to the meeting and stand there and greet. And I was like, greet? Greet who and what? I mean, so I'm gonna need you to hug the people that come in. You know, and I'm thinking, oh my God, what is this? Because I'm not that touchy-feely person. And it's like, okay. I thank God every day that he had me willing to take each suggestion. I didn't say no. I didn't really question. Some suggestions it took a while for me to do, but I did them. But I really believe that's why I'm here now. Because I thought I knew everything, and I don't. And with God's help, I had to listen to other people that came before me. And to this day, I don't say no. I might want to, really want to, but no. Because I want to grow. I want to be better. Because I know how that old Tina was. That old Tina was hurtful, spiteful, and so much pain that I was ready to lash out to any and everybody, and just really unhappy. And I'm content now. Things aren't always good, but most of the time they are. I'm learning to have relationships with people. I didn't do that. I didn't have time to try to figure you out or work with you. Or, you know, you did something to me, you cut off. I don't need to talk to you or see you anymore. And that's just how I was. I'm not able to do that now, especially with certain people in my life. You know, it's like, we don't just give up. We don't run away. We do this for life. And it's like, oh my God, whatever. I did something I never thought I would do. I took time to find me. I was celibate for almost a year and a half. And never, ever thought I would do that. That wasn't even in my mind to become celibate at all. But I did. And it wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. Because God made sure I had other things to focus on. And I really wanted it. I really wanted it. I've never been in a relationship that I didn't use. So to be in one now, clean and sober, I don't know, there's no words for it. It's life, I guess. You know, I'm living life, and this is what people do when they live life. You know, I know, and just like everybody else, I use because I wanted to hide that pain. Now I don't have that luxury of hiding or holding that pain in. So it makes me more verbal. It makes me work to communicate. And I never did that, I just shut down. It's really hard to believe to me that this group of people that at first I thought maybe was a cult would, you know, have me at this space in my life. That I'm willing to think of others and not just myself, even though sometimes I am thinking about myself. That I'm content and I don't really want for anything, and that I have people that love me genuinely and that I love genuinely. It's just, it boggles my mind. It really does. I don't really know what else to say before I start crying. I understand what they meant when they said it will work, because it's worked for me. Someone that used constantly for 19 years and it feels good. It feels good. Because now that I'm able to enjoy things, I actually get that full effect. Because it's not masked by drugs and alcohol, but I get to feel that real joy, sometimes real pain, but being in a program is helping me live life on life's terms. And God has really shown up and showed out. Even when I know I'm not really relying on him, he's still there. And that feels really, really good. I don't know what the future holds, but I do know, and I've never felt this in my life, that I'm able to accomplish anything I set my mind to. I'm going for a degree, and I couldn't stand school at all. High school, middle school, no school. But I'm able to do that if I choose. And I'm glad you all came. At first I wasn't, but I am now. So yeah, stick in there. It is hard. I think those first 6 months were the hardest in my life. And it was like when it passed, it was like, oh my God, I made it through that. Then something else came along, it's like, oh my God, I made it through that. And everything was done clean and sober. And so I really have to thank God. I have to thank you guys, because most of you heard everything I was going through. Being around you guys also makes me work even harder on me. Because I know I can be rough around the edges, but I'm really full of love. I really am. And I love you guys. Thanks for coming. With that, I'll pass.